Hello, welcome back to another episode of In the Meantime. So this is our first podcast together with me, Sierra, and Miss Jess. Hey, hey. And so Miss Jess, tell them a little about yourself.
So I am a saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost woman. Yes. That's not true, but no, seriously, I'm Jess Michelle. I go by Jess. I am a business owner. I own a boutique, Jess Me Boutique. I'm also a risk adjustment auditor as well. Me and Sierra, we've become very close. We go to the same church. We have shared a lot of experiences together. So I'm really happy to just be here, and I'm here to stay. Long story short, to share as much as possible with you guys, as well as tune in to what some things you got to say. So I'm glad to be a part.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to have you, of course. I'm just looking forward to the growth of this podcast and seeing where it goes and how it develops, the conversations that we get to have. I know that we've had a lot of conversations personally.
Yes, the Holy Spirit has been all over our conversations. Everything we say, it's like, why didn't we record this? So here we are.
Yes, and now we get the opportunity to share with the world, and I just really hope that through this, in the meantime, you'll get to see us being open and vulnerable with our in the meantime situations.
Yes.
From work to just our personal lives, just everything. And then you guys will chime in too and let us know your vulnerable moments. Let us know what it looks like in your in the meantime moments. And this is going to be amazing. I'm excited.
I am super excited too. So the way that we plan to format this is the first half, we're going to, you know, talk about current events, things that has been going on, as well as our perspective from it. Then we'll take a brief break, and then we come back, we get into our main topic. So our main topic for the second half today is going to be, as some of you already know,
Quarantine and chill.
Ooh, we really about to get personal with this one, but in a good way. But like I said, we first want to acknowledge some current things that are going on. But before we get into that, Sierra, how has your day been starting off? Let's get through that.
Starting off, it was super busy at work. I work half in the office and then half at home. Mm-hmm. And so today was my home day. I was so distracted. It was really a distracting day. I'm already dealing with stuff mm-hmm. at work that I feel is racial. And so just to really have the distraction of what's going on today mm-hmm. all over the world is just, it's been a lot. It's really been a lot. It's been so heavy.
You are not alone. No, but seriously, I've started out doing half in the office and half at home, and now I'm just at home full time. But I've also dealt with some racial tension in my personal job as well. And then that paired with the fact of what's recently been going on, as many of us have already know, George Floyd. We are saying his name, George Floyd. That has really gotten me in an uproar. I have been carrying the weight all day, long story short, not even my own weight, other people's weight, anger, disappointment, rage. I have been carrying all of that. That is one thing we must acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Tell me, Sierra, how are you just feeling about all of this?
Annoyed. I'm sickened to the bottom of my stomach. It's disgusting to see us as a black people just killed with no care at all. Like, I've always been super interested in learning black history and just understanding what it was like to be a slave and just that mindset of people. And to see that mindset coming back today, like, I don't have to enslave you physically, but I can still kill you whenever I feel like it. And it means nothing.
Nothing.
I can just do whatever. I remember going back home one day And when I went back home, my cousins was telling me about one of the kids that I went to school with, and he was driving back home, getting his little brother from school so he could visit with his family. Mm-hmm. Got pulled over, and just got beat, dragged out of his car and beaten by the police officers, and they just left him there for dead. Like, it wasn't nothing. No ticket, nothing. And just the fact that we're still doing this, like, over and over and over again. When are we going to learn? When are we going to be better? When are we going to do something different? And to see, like, the riots that's happening, mm-hmm. it's just, that's been frustrating. That, to me, was extremely frustrating and sad to see. I understand how angry we are, and you just feel like you have to do something. But Planet Fitness, come on now. They sell weights at Planet Fitness. What are we doing? What was the point in that?
They destroyed Planet Fitness?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Planet Fitness, Dollar Tree. They stole from some of the schools. And I'm like, come on now. One of the biggest issues that we have as Black people is not being educated. And y'all stealing from schools?
That's ridiculous.
In our community?
What is the purpose of that? Like, I'm not downplaying the emotional things that we're feeling, not at all. But okay, after you let out that anger, then what's next? What happens next? We're not thinking that far. All we're thinking is, oh, we're mad. We're just going to go and just mess stuff up and then leave. Like, okay.
Tip for tap.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what's our long-term goal? What's the point we're trying to get across? What do we really want out of life? You want to be respected. Let's figure out what we need to do to be respected. Because time and time and time again, they continue not to respect us. They continue to treat us like we're absolutely nothing. You can shoot us while we're sleeping. How do you go into the wrong house? How do you go into a house while the person you're looking for is already arrested?
Ridiculous.
Like, communication in my work office is horrible. So I can't imagine being a police officer and communication being that bad.
That bad? Like, was it really much of a threat that you had to take those measures only to it be the wrong house?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is that necessary? I don't understand it. It's insane to me, but at the same time, we as a Black community are in an uproar because of the violence that's been going on. We don't like it. So why would we respond with that same violence? It will not end. No, it's not ending now, but you express that in a violent way, it's really not going to end. You do not fight violence with violence. You don't fight division with division. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, we're causing a lot more division amongst ourselves. Just as amongst us as people, because at the end of the day, we're all people, and we're already divided by the color of our skin. We're divided by where we live. We're divided by the education that we do or do not have. So it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And it's just been so sad. Like, I went down a rabbit hole and just kept looking at all of these videos and reading what people had to say. And I usually don't even pay attention to comments like that.
Right.
But today I was in it, and it's so sad. Like, I talked to my cousin, you know, just to check on them, make sure they're doing okay. And her concern is like, I hope they don't hit up the grocery store, you know, cause she works at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's interesting. Cause I don't see any videos of them looting the grocery store.
Right. We gotta eat, fam. Right.
But we gonna hit up Planet Fitness.
Like, right. They don't need those weights.
Really? But you know, it's been a lot, and it's been a lot to take in. I remember a while back, this little girl had called 911, and the 911 person thought that they were playing. Hung up the phone, and her mom got killed in front of her.
Wow.
And we're saying, oh, she's playing because of where she lives, like the neighborhood that she's in. What did that baby have to do with the neighborhood that she's in?
Exactly.
That was a child. Like, if a child is asking for help. And then I'm watching this other video where the man's getting beat up in the middle of the street by a police officer. And this poor little baby is watching as her mom is recording. It was like, "Mommy, they're hitting him. Mommy, what are they doing? Mommy, why they punch him?" And that just breaks my heart. Like, why in the world are we doing this to our people? And then we're just gonna record it. But then who do you call?
Exactly. What do you do? What can you really do in that moment?
And for us to always feel like we don't have anywhere that we can turn to, and we don't have anywhere that we can go for help. Because what are we really supposed to do? So that's the question that I've been asking myself. What can I do to help make my community better, to make help ensure that my community is safer? Like, what can I do?
And we're so limited, like in our mindset, we're so limited. Like you mentioned earlier about the riots and blowing up things of the community, we're taking the mistakes of some people and we're blaming and destroying the whole community. And it could very well be because we feel like there's nothing else we can do but raise hell. And that's cool temporarily. But then, like I mentioned earlier, then what? So then it just becomes individual. And then most people, they expect the change to happen right away. It's not going to happen right away. People act out of emotion, they go crazy, and then things die down. Did anything really change? Not really. It's
No.
just, if anything, giving more reasons for them to kill us. They're expecting us to act that way.
Yes.
Sad to say.
I was just reading another post and it was like, we keep giving them what they want. They want a reason to kill us. Like, they're frustrated because they don't have a reason to kill us. And we're giving them a reason. And it's like we're just going in this never-ending cycle of just hate and more hate and violence and more violence. And we just really have to come together as a people and figure out what we need to do to get ourselves together.
And I really like what you said when we were talking on the phone earlier. You offered a very good perspective that I think a lot of people don't take the time and think about, and I think they should. When you mentioned how, for example, the police station getting blown up. What city was that?
Oh, I don't even remember.
But a police station got blown up, and you mentioned about, let's say a black man graduates from the police academy and he goes in on his first day of work and oh, the station blown up. Like now his job is affected, his job is lost. That man could have been set out to really make change, really make a difference. He's just excited, just graduated from the police academy, and now you guys have bombed the police station again, blaming the whole community for something that this one person did, or 10 police officers have done, or however many. And I feel like a lot of people don't think about that perspective. They think about all policemen are bad, this needs to be destroyed and this need to be destroyed. But when you said that, you offered a very unique perspective that people don't think about, and that was a part of the answer.
Yeah, like we need to stand up and support the people who are trying to make things better. So we have our black men, our black women that are trying to be police officers. All right, let's get behind them. Let's make sure that whatever street they own and they patrolling, we're gonna make sure we on our best behaviors to make them look good so they can excel, so that we can say, yeah, we in there. Like, I feel like our ancestors have paved the road for us to get places. Our grandpas and grandmas have opened the door for us to be in these rooms. Now it's time for us to show up and be in these rooms. But we can't be in these rooms if we're constantly fighting,
Exactly.
because they're not gonna let us in.
That's
Just
true.
more ignorant black people on the news. Like, no, I'm gonna be on the news because, oh, well, this black person is excelling. This black person is finally doing something. I'm gonna stand behind them and support them. So our officers, because there's plenty of black officers out there. There's plenty of good ones. There's plenty of black bad ones. But let's stand behind the ones that we know that are good. Let's fight for the ones that we know are on our side. whatever that may be, but let's do that together. Let's come together and say, okay, I'm going to make sure that this person excels. I feel like culturally, there are different cultures that come to America, and that's exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. They come to the United States and they stand behind each other and they're like, you know what? I'm going to work super hard to make sure that you can go to college and you don't have to worry about paying for anything.
Right.
Like, that's what we need to do. We need to come together and say, okay, my baby wants to be a doctor. Let me support, let the community come together and support, and they can go to school to be a doctor. All right, well, this person wants to be a police officer. Let's come together and support, encourage, and let's do what we need to do financially mm-hmm. to make sure that we are all excelling and succeeding as a people, as a community, as a neighborhood. Like, let's really come together and do that, because we end up falling short so many times because we like, oh, well, you think you better than us because you went to school. Yeah, in a way that I am.
Right.
My drive is just a little bit harder than yours.
Exactly.
My push is a little bit harder than yours. So until you get the same push and the same drive that I get, I'm a little bit better because I'm doing something.
Right.
So let's do something. Let's come together and let's do something. And let's stop being against each other. And let's not act like that has disappeared. Let's not act like that we don't still get jealous and insecure of each other as a people, because sometimes we do. We still dealing with black on black crimes. We just ignoring it right now because we getting killed in the middle of the street by police officers.
Right.
So we still have little issues that we still need to fix as a people, but let's come together and say, okay, this month we about to work on this. Next month we working on this, but we going to come together and get it together for ourselves.
Exactly. Actually taking proactive steps. I agree. And shout out to all the mothers, the black mothers with sons. Your son matters. Your daughter matters. And it just really makes me think that taking those steps, I would really hate if my son came to me and basically saying, oh, mom, I want to be a police officer, but I've been hearing all this stuff and now I'm scared. Like, I'll be messed up. I do not want my child going around afraid to be a police officer because of things that has been happening. He might be called to be a police officer. He might be part of the change. But because people are going around at the police, now my son don't want to be a police officer. He does, but he's too afraid.
Yeah. And I think for me as a parent, that was one of the disheartening things that I did here was like, My son was like, oh, I'm gonna call the police. And then my daughter's like, no, don't call the police. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, the police are here to protect and to serve. Mm-hmm. I am not going to discount all of the police officers because of people's mistakes. Now, it may be the majority of police officers that ain't doing the wrong thing, but mm-hmm. there will still be one person that's doing the right thing.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to say. Like, okay, that one person is what makes it better.
Right.
But I'm not going to have my children live in fear.
Absolutely not.
Like, no, you do your part. Do what you're supposed to do. If something is going on that shouldn't be going on and you feel unsafe, you have every right to call the police. Every right. You have every right to protect yourself. But we just have to be a little bit more cautious because we're African American.
Right. Like, when are we going to stop saying, and it's not even just us, even other races, we're notoriously known. The angry black woman, the angry black man. Oh my goodness. When are we going to stop being called that? It's nothing wrong with being angry, but what are we doing with that anger?
Nothing. That's why we bitter, angry black women.
Taking it out on everybody else and everything else.
No, we take it out on who we know we can take it out on because we're not going into corporate meetings being the angry black woman.
Not at all.
You better believe when I go to work, oh, good morning. How are you doing today?
Yes, good morning.
I'm not bringing none of that to the office. Mm-mm. But we just have to really, one, learn to be in tune with ourselves and our emotions, be honest with ourselves. And that helps us be more honest with others. Like, as a black woman, okay, what you said was a little offensive. Why was it offensive? Was it offensive because I believe it to be true? Mm-hmm. Or is it offensive because you're just being you?
Right.
But it's like we just have to learn to be honest with ourselves and have these honest conversations. Mm-hmm. We need to stop saying that we can't talk about things anymore. We right. have to stop saying that, oh, we're not going to call it a race thing. We are going to call it a race thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a name on it. Yes. We're going to put it out there. Yes. And we're going to have the conversation, though. So mm-hmm. that way we can make sure it doesn't happen again. And I feel like that's where we fail ourselves, because we don't have those conversations.
Right.
We don't have that conversation with ourselves personally. We don't have that conversation with our significant others, with our family, with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times have you sat with your friends and talked about racism?
Not at all.
Talk about colorism.
When we have talked about it. When we have talked about it, it's just
one-sided.
Very one-sided. Forget the other side. Ain't that what Drake said? Forget the other side. Something like that. Nothing proactively. No.
Yeah, we don't have any proactive conversations. Not mm-hmm. as much as we need to.
Just talking about how we need to raise hell, basically.
Mm-hmm. How hurt we are, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. You right, and it's going to continue to happen if we don't come up with our own solutions. This is what works for me. This is what works for my community. This is what works for me and my family. Like, right. We have to come up with that, and we have to set the platform, and we have to say, this is what we are going to do.
Right.
But we haven't set up rules and regulations on how we're going to treat ourselves.
No. No, like you said, that slavery mentality, we are still in that mindset. And don't get me wrong, I also want to acknowledge the license to carry. I do feel that it's a wise thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. I've been seeing a lot of posts about that as well, as far as it can be part of the answer. I'm not knocking it. There is nothing wrong with it. As long as you educating yourself on how to use it, then that's fine. But again, that's not all the answer. Mm-hmm. That might be a small piece, but mm-hmm. we're talking long term here.
And then the real thing is, what happens when another police officer is beating the mess out of a black man? What are you going to do with that weapon? You're going to shoot a police officer?
Right.
Because that's a whole nother thing. Because the news is not going to say police officer beat a black man. The news is going to say black man shot a police officer.
Right.
Black man gets the death penalty for shooting a police officer.
Exactly.
Like, or black man didn't make it because he shot a police officer.
Basically.
So it's like, how do you, I don't know. How would I think, of course, it is everyone's right to carry a weapon if they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we go about that? Because how long did it take for us to finally pick up a camera and start recording the things that are going on?
Right.
What are you really going to do in that situation when 4 police officers, 1 black man, are you going to shoot at a police officer?
That's true. That's true. And I was actually live on my TikTok earlier. And it was a very good dialogue discussion. And someone mentioned that the phone, pulling out the phone is a weapon, which I can see that as well, because it brings awareness. But then I also posed a hypothetical question. I mentioned, you know, you might not have ever experienced this before, but hypothetically speaking, let's say that you're just going about your day and you witness something like that happening. Like a George Floyd, you witnessed that happening. You're seeing the police officer with his knee on the back of his neck, or whatever the case may be. What are you going to do? Are you honestly going to pull out your gun and, like you said, shoot the officer like you say you're going to do? If you were placed in that situation and you were watching this happen, what would you honestly do? And most people couldn't say anything. The same people who were saying, oh, I'm going to have my gun and I'm going to make sure I shoot and I'm not going to let them do this. When I posed that question, they didn't have anything to say. Their answer was basically, well, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what changed?
That's how we feel every day as black people. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? And the least that I can do right now is to pick up the phone and record it. And even that is so sad. Like, I don't know if I would have the heart to record someone dying like that.
Me neither.
Like that. And I watched the lady that did record, and she was just really traumatized by that. Like, how
How strong do you have to be to hold a camera and watch someone die and you're still going live?
I couldn't be able to do it.
That is so intense. So intense. My heart goes out to the families that are losing people. It's just, man, it's just so sad. And it's a hard life to live. Like, this is the responsibility that we have as Black people, is to figure out how to save our Black people. And how?
Right.
How do we fight back?
We need to get involved.
In what?
Like, we need to get involved.
In what? And how do we tell our young Black men, oh, go and be a police officer? How do you tell a young Black woman to go and be a police officer?
Right. That's an interesting one.
So, I mean, it's just sad times. I'm trying not to cry. Oh, man. It's just, it's really sad times that we're living in. I just constantly pray. I've been seeing a lot of posts about saying this is a time that we need to be on our knees.
Yes.
Like, and that's the warfare that we need to start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely be on our knees. I'm definitely praying for the communities and everything that's going on, like these riots. Let's just be strategic. Let's just be intentional. Yes. About what we're going to do. And let's come up with a plan. But let's get together and come up with a plan.
Right.
Like, let's get together with our community and say, this is what we're going to do for our community. This is what we're going to do for our people. And this is what works for us.
Right.
I mean, I look at it with kids too, raising kids. I do not discipline one child the same way that I discipline the other, because right. I don't have to yell at one.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at one and they come to tears. Mm-hmm, but right. Then the other one, I gotta hoot and holler and everything else, like, what are you doing?
Right.
And then they'll get it together. But we have to treat people on a case-by-case basis. Like, yes, you did this. What is it going to take to make you realize that you were wrong?
Right.
And stop trying to use people as an example to the world. Like, I can't kill this one person as an example to others. Like, don't do this again, because now you're starting little fires everywhere, which is a good TV show, by the way. But but you're just starting little fires. Like, we have to stop categorizing people and putting so many people in a box and saying, oh, all white people are bad, all Black people are bad. We have to stop doing that. And we have to learn to build relationships so we can bridge that gap.
Right.
That's what needs to happen. We need to bridge that gap. So I know for me, when I go into work and realize that I'm the only African-American person there, it's a lot. You know, I feel like I have a responsibility for our people.
Mm-hmm.
But I take the time to try to bridge that gap, because I don't want to be treated as if I'm the angry Black woman. I don't want to be treated as if I'm not intelligent because I'm African-American.
Right.
But I'm not going to be your token Black friend either. So
absolutely not.
we're gonna figure out how we can work together. I want to open your eyes so that you can realize that all Black people are not the same. Mm-hmm. And I will give you the opportunity to open my eyes that all white people aren't the same.
That's true. Showing something different.
Mm-hmm.
Showing something different. So I definitely, again, hearts go out to everyone affected, whether they're directly affected or indirectly affected. It's not an easy thing to swallow, but the biggest thing is we want to think proactively and not just out of emotion. Now is the time. Deal with your emotions, be emotional, but now is the time to really transition from emotion to actual using our minds. Let's not limit ourselves as a Black culture and think that that's the only way to handle things. We're limiting ourselves. We have these incredible minds. We're so creative. We are amazing collectively. Let's use that. Let's tap into that. And we can even label that as the things we have gone through in our history and in the past. it's affecting our worth, and we don't think we're this. And like you mentioned earlier, we think that there's nothing else that we can do. Like, it starts with our mental. So just wanted to give you guys a couple things to really think about. Any last things?
Yeah, constantly, like every day, what are you doing to make this situation better?
Right. Or what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? Because we cannot rely on the president to make things better. We cannot rely on the governor to make things better. It's really us. Like, what are we going to do? What can we do to make this a little bit better?
Right.
And then it'll be a ripple effect. But we have to start moving for ourselves. And we can't let this push us back.
Not at all.
This is exactly what we needed to be pushed forward and to move into the change that needs to happen.
Right. And if you can't answer that question for yourself at the moment, if you have children, you can think about, well, how can I raise my child? How can I raise my children? If you don't know what you can do personally outside of protesting, for example, or posting about it, now you can revert it into, okay, how am I raising my son? How am I raising my daughter? What things can I instill in them so that they don't grow up with these fears?
Right. And really, like, start having the conversation. Let's have these conversations with more than just us, with more than just your mom, with more than just your dad, your sister, your cousin. Let's spread out and have these conversations, because it's the fear of having these conversations that causes us to be in the same situation over and over again. Because we're like, oh, we have to tiptoe around racism. Oh, we have to tiptoe around sexism. No.
No, we don't.
No, we're going to call it what it is, but we're going to figure out how we're going to move forward with it and how we're going to get rid of it. Because I'm not trying to continue to carry this with me. Like, not how are we going to move forward from it? But we need to start by having these conversations. So that's what I will end with. Like, I want to push everybody. Once you listen and you hear this, have the conversation with somebody. At least two people that you don't usually have these conversations with. And come up with a plan. Like, how do we make this better? How can we? Where can we start? That should be the constant question. Where can we start?
And listening is just as much as talking. You had actually mentioned this earlier. Don't be afraid to disagree.
Oh, yes. We live in a world with how many billions of people? Like, we are not. I don't want to live in a world where everybody agrees with me. Mm-mm. At all. I enjoy people disagreeing with me because it gives me the opportunity to see a different viewpoint.
Right.
And it challenges my thinking, my way of thinking. So now when I think about something, I'm like, oh, okay, somebody else saw it this way. So why don't I shift the way that I'm looking so that I can bring that into my argument? And I don't have to agree with you at the end of the day.
You don't. You really don't. That's a part of the discussion. That's a part of planning. It's not always about agreeing in order to plan and be proactive. If that was the case, then what's the point of having the discussion with other people if you wanted everybody to agree? So in the midst of talking about it outside of your normal circle, don't be afraid of conflict. And as I'm sharing this with you guys, I'm also sharing this with myself, because personally, I'm not big on conflict. I try to avoid it, to be honest. I don't like it. I can refer to myself as a sensitive person at times. I will admit that. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot be afraid of conflict. And there's healthy conflict and there's unhealthy conflict. Regardless, the discussion needs to be had.
Yeah. So it's okay to disagree. We can agree to disagree, and we can move forward with change.
Yes. Yes. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will get into quarantine and chill. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. What's up? What's up? Welcome back. Welcome back. I am very interested in this current topic that we're going to be talking about, especially considering we coming with all the heat, period. We got to have it. Okay, so So this quarantine appears to be coming to an end. I don't know about you guys, but wherever you're listening, we are approaching our next phase of this quarantine. So things are definitely slowing down as far as just being trapped in the house. So yeah. I felt like this was a perfect opportunity to kind of reflect, considering this is in the meantime. Let's talk about that in the meantime of this quarantine. And one of the things I want to mention is quarantine and chill. Oh, you guys have heard the phrase Netflix and chill, but I'm pretty sure you've also heard quarantine chill. Not just quarantine chill. You don't quarantine and chill by yourself. You can. But I have been hearing what's referred to as a quarantine bae.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I really kind of want to talk about what is a quarantine bae? What would you consider a quarantine bae to be? And quarantine and chill, what does that really mean? What is the profits from it? Just all that whole aspect. So, in your opinion, she was like, no. In your opinion, how would you define a quarantine bae, generally speaking?
Quarantine babe is the one that you booed up with while y'all trapped in the house together. it just baffles my mind, because I'm like, we're dealing with a virus that's literally killing people, and you're like, you bring your contaminated self into my space and let's be contaminated together? Like, what? I don't know if you're safe or not, but let's just sit down together and we'll see.
People will risk their lives to not be by themselves. I will say that.
That's what it is.
And it's like, you know what? You cool. I'm feeling you. You feeling me. I know you good. I'm good. So let's be good together.
This virus, we literally do not know who's good and who's not good. And we just like, come to my home. I was told, don't talk to strangers. Don't let people know where you live. Don't get in the car with just anybody. We got Ubers where we literally get in the car with a stranger to drive us home. Then we have quarantine, babe, where we're like, there is a virus going around where some people don't know they have it until a week later. Come into my home.
Sierra straight up like, no.
I'm not for it. Like, so I started online dating, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been before, I didn't start it before the quarantine. I guess I wasn't quick enough. But like, so I'm thinking before this, people are just like, oh, hey, let's hook up. And now after this, people are like, oh, we can meet at the grocery store. No. We can do a Zoom meeting.
Okay? A Zoom meeting.
I will add you. Join this call. We can video and chill.
You can do that, right? Would that be considered quarantine and chill if it was virtual?
I think it would. I think it would be really cute.
I actually would not be opposed to that at all.
Yeah, I can see your face, you can see my face, and then we'll press play to Netflix at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
And turn the camera. I thought that was funny. Did you think that was funny? Because that was funny.
But then some cameras, like, stuff don't capture till maybe, like, you know, it'd be 2 seconds off. It's like, ha ha. One. Ha ha.
We need you to fix your internet connection, sir.
No, but seriously, when I think of the term quarantine bae, I can't help but attach it to a negative connotation. Because when I think of quarantine bae, I think of what it is. Somebody who, like you said, I'm booed up with, I have during quarantine, but then when quarantine is over, okay, that's it. You're not my quarantine bae no more. Thank you. Have a good day. Back to regular life. I don't really like that term.
Yeah, because it's temporary.
I don't.
You're not searching for temporary. You're searching for something that's going to last forever.
Long term. Mm-hmm. Long term. So
titles mean stuff, people. This they is mean why stuff. It's so important to define every aspect of your relationships. Like, right. So important. Because if you know you're a long term person, why are you going to be sitting up here quarantined and chilling?
Right. Because I'm the type of person, like, I've during quarantine, like, I've been kicking it. I have been kicking it, but it's never just been like a temporary thing. Like, oh, yeah, I'm kicking it with you just for quarantine. And then afterwards, yeah, it's a wrap, back to regular life. Like, I never thought about that at all. Like, it's more, okay, it can continue from this. It just so happened that it's during quarantine, but I don't look at it as just a quarantine thing.
I mean, this online dating, that's how I kind of look at it. It's like, oh, I can text, which I do not like texting, but I can keep talking to you for a while. Huh, okay. This, maybe when this quarantine is over, we can go to the park. You're still not coming into my space, but
because you have to hold my attention. If I'm feeling a certain way in quarantine, I'm not even going to waste my quarantine with you just for quarantine if I'm uninterested. That is just not what I do. Mm-hmm. If I'm spending my quarantine with you, then I'm with you. It's not just for quarantine.
Right.
So that's a different, I just really don't like that term. And I know that I've heard things a lot of other people have, might feel a little ashamed about it.
Mm-hmm.
About having one, like, it's such a horrible thing.
Because it's been turned into a booty call, pretty much. that's what it is. It's a booty call. Oh, my quarantine bae. That means we're getting it on.
Right.
No, thank you. Please don't call me that.
Right, yeah, I really don't like that term. I really don't like that term.
What would you call it?
I mean, I would call it, like, anything. Okay, if I met somebody, like, this past Thanksgiving or something. He my Thanksgiving bae, like. Meaning, like.
We got matching leggings.
I look at it no different than if I'm meeting you at any other time, is basically what I'm trying to say. I wouldn't just say, ooh, quarantine bae.
I think that's because your mentality is long term. Like, you're just like, this is a long term relationship. That's what you're looking for. And so when people give it something that isn't permanent, that isn't long term, then it's like, that's not what I want.
Right.
It's so easy to frown upon.
Right. I do believe boundaries are important. Boundaries definitely matter. But the whole spending time during quarantine, I don't see it as a negative thing.
It doesn't have to be necessarily, but like I said, just for me, you're not coming in my space. Like, we can spend time. I don't know how we spend time together.
Zoom, see, the way my FaceTime. Heart, the way my heart is set up. Okay, yeah, you can come into my space. I'm coming into your space. I've just, your girl has this heart thing, right? And
this heart thing,
and I get attached. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, but I do get attached. So, like I said, boundaries are important. They're very particular for different people. But at the end of the day, it is all about those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're more important when you are so easily attached, because mm-hmm. then you're looking for something permanent while this dude is looking for a quarantine babe.
Right.
And he's like, looks like we made it to phase two of this quarantine. I'm gonna see you later.
And then you're looking like, what the heck?
Yeah, I think it's just, we as women, we're looking for something. And not to say that we're What am I trying to say? Oh my gosh. Not to say that we're just out there like, are you it? But when we are approached and when we are having these conversations with the opposite sex, like, we are thinking, like, at times, not all the time, because I don't pay attention to that all the time, but it is this a permanent figure in my life?
Right. whether it's a friendship or a more meaningful relationship, is this somebody who's going to be long term? Or is this somebody who's just looking for somebody to talk to for now? And for me, I like to define those right away. Like, oh, what's going on? I'm just getting to know you. And that's what this space is right now. That's what this online dating is. I'm getting to know you. We are not in a relationship. it's not going further than that, but I am definitely getting to know you. So at the end of this quarantine, I've just built more friendships. I've built more networking. Mm-hmm. You know, just different things like that. So where I'm not going to label this as, oh, this is somebody that I want to be, that I know is more serious. Mm-hmm. Now, I might speak to somebody who does intrigue me in that way to where I want it to be more serious. But until me and that person have that conversation, I'm still getting to know you.
Exactly.
That's that. There's nothing exactly. more. And I feel like we as women need to really get on board with building relationships.
Right.
And understanding that not all relationships are a significant other relationship.
Right. Redefine that. Establish it. That is very so important. Like, is this long term? Is this a real friendship? Is this going to turn into a companionship? Or is this just sex? Because let's be real. When you hear the phrase Netflix and chill, what does Netflix and chill mean? Netflix means sex while Netflix is playing.
Your background movie.
Somebody, your background movie. Basically, we all know what Netflix and chill is. So now we can translate that to quarantine and chill. Like, is this an actual friendship, a companion, or is just sex during quarantine?
Yeah, I'm not for it. So please do not, because I'm not for it.
And no, of course, ideal, you want to wait till marriage. You want to wait until you're established in a covenant before you move into sex. But honestly, that does not always happen.
Nope.
People do not always wait before they have sex. We might have intentions to, but that doesn't always happen. But bigger than that, the bigger issue is, as long as you're on the same page to what this is, and it's not just, oh, we're just having sex right now. It's actually, no, we are working towards something, or this is what it is. As long as that relationship is defined and established, then you can move from there.
Yeah, but it has to be defined. And it does. It has to be talked about. Yes. So it baffles me when people are like, oh, I don't know what this is, or we're just enjoying the ride. Nah, because you ain't about to take me anywhere.
Nah.
Not at all. So I need to know where we're going. Right. And I'm like that when people drive anyway. Like, oh, I'm sorry. We're going where? Who's driving? Nah, I'll drive.
Right, exactly.
I'll drive. Because I can leave when I want to.
Exactly. Like someone was telling me, you make time for what you want. So if you really want something when this quarantine is over, you're not just going to go back to being ghost, or you're not going to ghost them.
I've literally had a few people that were just like, oh, you want to meet up? And I'm like, when this quarantine is over. And they've just been like, I can respect that. Hit me up when this is over. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to hit them up, but right. I just respect the fact that they're just like, oh, okay, well, that's not what I'm looking for. And we can move on. Again, like, we have to have the conversation. People are so scared to define things and put labels on things, but that's how we stop the misunderstandings of what this is.
Right.
Like, that's how we stop, oh, she's acting like she's my girlfriend, even though I told her that I'm not trying to date. Well, you said it, but you still treat her like a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But because she hasn't had that conversation with you and been like, hey, you're treating me like your girlfriend, what is this? Then, mm-hmm. yeah, it gets messed up.
So. Right. Boundaries are hard. Boundaries are really, really hard. Like I said, I got this heart thing going on. It's hard for you, girl, to establish boundaries sometimes. I have every intention to, but then it just doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah. And we just have to be accepting of knowing that, like, we have a hard time with our boundaries. So that makes us put up more barriers.
Right.
Like, I know that I am sensitive sometimes. So because of that, I don't put myself in situations or conversations that I think will lead to my emotions coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a good and a bad thing, because the good thing, because I protect myself from being overly sensitive, but then it's a bad thing because then people start to feel like I don't have emotions and I don't have feelings. And stuff.
Right.
And it's like, no, I do, but because I know I'm sensitive, I'm gonna stay away from this.
Right. And one thing that this quarantine has taught me in the midst of this is to really just enjoy the process. The kind of woman that I am, I've always been so used to commitment, commitment, commitment. We got to commit right now. This is what we're doing right now. Okay, we're going to get married. You know, these are all the thoughts that I'm having in my head. But this has really taught me to just enjoy the process, enjoy getting to know someone, enjoy building and growing. Whether it leads to the end result that you'd like or it doesn't, just enjoy the journey. And I say that not in terms of temporary, but just enjoy getting to know someone. I can really appreciate that. And honestly, I wouldn't have learned that if I wasn't getting to know people during this quarantine and kicking it with them. So I can really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's definitely important to get to know people. And again, define the relationship that you are in. And even if it's just a conversationship, then we can respect that too. I know, like, I've been using this time to really ask questions. And I'm pretty sure people on these dating websites are just like, what is this girl talking about sometimes? But I've been like, you know what? This is the time for me to, one, do an inward journey and reflection and figure out the type of woman that I am becoming. And this is a even more perfect time for me to figure out what conversations do I want to entertain. And I'm not entertaining no quarantine and chill. So I'm going to ask some real questions. When's the last time you cried? What made you really cry? Mm-hmm. How do you express your desire to be loved?
All right.
What does that look like? And so I like some of these dating apps because they make the girl ask the questions, or the woman, excuse me. They make the woman approach first. And so that's my go-to question. So if y'all ever hear somebody or see a message that says, how do you express your desire to be loved? It's me. But like, that's like that is the first question I ask. How do you express your desire to be loved? And then just having people actually answer back is like, oh, people aren't as superficial as I thought they were.
Right.
And people are actually entertaining this conversation. And it just makes me excited to get to know more people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm taking this time as, is I'm getting to know people. And then if it grows into something more, that's great. But we are going to have a conversation about it.
Right.
Like, ooh, I respect where this is going. And I feel like it's a little bit more than conversationship.
Right. So that would be, you can say that would be your quarantine and chill.
My conversationship?
Yes. Yes. Notoriously, just having sex, but that would be your quarantine and chill, getting to know and having that deeper conversation and understanding. That's very, very important.
Yeah. I want to know what the last thing was that made you really cry. Like, I mean, snot, ugly, boohoo crying. Let's talk about that. How did that feel?
And at the end of the day, just make your intentions clear, especially with yourself, because we're all grown. We're all grown. Things happen. People do things. But you know what your intentions are. You know your goal at the end. You know, you have a plan. Long story short, have a plan. If you are just during this quarantine, just having sex, like, you know, that's just what it is. Y'all just having sex. Okay. What's your plan though? This is what you're doing now. You're grown. If this is what you're doing, okay. But what's your plan afterwards? Are you just, I'm just, you know, la, 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 la. We'll
just
see.
Just going with the flow.
Have
wherever the wind blows.
Don't be naive. Don't be naive. If their intentions were clear, this is all I wanted. This is all it is. And then when it's over, you're shocked because you're like, what? I thought we were having such a great time. And I just don't understand. Just because quarantine is over doesn't mean we have to be over. Have a plan. You knew what it was.
Yeah. We all have a great time at the amusement park, but the amusement park closes and it's time to go home.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Is it just a straight going home, or is it, okay, you know, text me when you get home. I want to make sure you made it safe. Like, is it beyond the amusement park, or is it just an amusement park and then be like, bye, Trick? Like, if you want to be real, like, what is it? So whatever you're doing with your time, just make sure you have a plan for how you're going to move, how you're going to move when this is all over. Have a plan. Nobody's perfect. We're not, we're always striving for perfection, but things happen. And this quarantine has really exposed and made a lot of us vulnerable in a multitude of ways. So we're reaching for perfection, but that doesn't always happen. So at the end of the day, as long as you just have a plan, you know what you're doing, you know what your situation is, have a plan for when you come out on the other side.
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily strive for perfection anymore. I just strive to be better and to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and sometimes in different areas of my life, I'll have an example of someone that I think did a really great job. And I'm like, okay, I want to strive to be better. Or I have an example of somebody that messed up and I'm like, I want to be better.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
If I'm striving to be better, for me mentally, it's better. It's easier for me to think like, oh, I can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can't make it to perfection, but I definitely know I can be better.
Right. At least
I
better
can
than
so
yesterday.
Be better than
right. See what
no. But yeah, and you're right. Be better than yesterday. Be better than who you were yesterday and the mistakes you made yesterday. And just really strive to be better than. Like, we already know we ain't gonna hit perfection, but we can definitely hit being better than who we were yesterday.
Right.
Most definitely. Quarantining and chilling is not for me. Unless you wanna do a Zoom.
That's totally fine.
We can Skype. We can duo.
It would be nice to be with you when I grew up. But for me, that's not the case. I want to spend time with you. I want to see you. Come over my house.
I'm
coming over
you
your
on
house.
Skype. I can like, see your house on Skype.
I miss you. And I really do. I really do. So shout out to all the quarantine bays out there, however you define that. Just make your intentions clear. Have a conversation with them if you haven't. Just lay down the groundwork and really just have your plan.
Have you? Okay, my question. Sorry. Have you had the next stage conversation?
Yes, I have actually had the next stage conversation. And it was laid out very clearly that it wasn't just a quarantine occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned earlier, you make time for what you want. And we are both on that same page about that.
So how was that initial like conversation starting? Like, how did that make you feel? Were you nervous? Because I'm trying to figure out, how do we stop like the stigma that comes along with having the conversation of defining where we are and where we're going?
I was actually very, very nervous to have that conversation.
Why?
Because, well, it goes back to, like I mentioned in the first segment briefly, how I personally don't like conflict. It's just a me thing that I have. I don't like conflict. So it's just like nervousness of, you know, being hurt again or things like that. Because no matter who you are, significant other, if we haven't reached to that point yet, even if it's just a friendship, I get attached, and not in a clingy way, but I don't like to play around. I don't like temporary. If I'm talking to you, if I like you, I'm getting to know you, I'm not thinking just, okay, during this season. Now, not my will, God's will.
Mm-hmm.
But me personally, I'm not just thinking seasonal. So I'm always nervous, mainly of, you know, what the other person's going to say, how the other person's going to react, how they're going to feel. I'm always nervous about that. But it just really made me think back, and it's like, okay, you know what you've been through before. We're going to do something a little differently. We're going to set those intentions clear from the get-go. And to my surprise, it was very mutual. Now, if something happens long-term, then, okay, I'm just going to have to move on from there. Like, I said this, you said this. If you don't follow along with it, if you changed your mind, you have every right to.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control what other people decide to do in the end. But it was very nerve-wracking. It was a hard conversation to have. It was not an easy conversation. It was a hard conversation to have, me internally.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just thinking about it because I'm like, for me, I need to know where we are and where we're going so I can respect the space that we're in,
mm-hmm.
and to help me prepare for the future. So if we're saying this is just a conversation, then I respect our conversation, and then we can have another conversation on, okay, is this something that's going to grow?
Right.
And if it is, then okay, I need to prepare my mind for the growth.
Right.
And prepare my heart for accepting it.
And is God in it? That's another thing that had to be established. Is God in it? Like, for me, things have not always gone according to, you know, things from a biblical standpoint. Things have not gone according to the way they probably should have been in God's eyes. But at the end of the day, we both have that understanding that we're called to each other during this time. However long that is, I'm teaching them something. They're teaching me. We have that understanding. We know for a fact we're called to each other during this time. Now, anything else that happens, if flesh gets in the way, that's a whole nother thing. But when it comes to God, we do have that understanding. And so that's pretty much what we've been walking in.
Yeah. And I think it's important to have God as the center and the foundation of relationships. And I just think conversation, again, is just so vital and so important. And for me, for a long-term relationship, if I can't talk to you about everything, I'm not interested in having a relationship with you.
Right.
And I mean everything. We need to be able to talk about everything. And I think a lot, like, and I think of like past relationships that I had, that was one thing that I really valued, was that we could talk about anything.
Right.
So now moving forward, because that's something that I value, is just the openness and the feeling comfortable. I don't want to be nervous having the conversation. Where are we right now? And where are we going?
Right.
Like, and I feel like if I'm nervous to have that conversation, then it's probably not somebody that I want to have a relationship with.
It's
or it might be a, like a learning opportunity,
mm-hmm.
because if I don't feel comfortable, then there's either something that they're doing to make me uncomfortable or something that I'm doing to make me uncomfortable.
Right.
So I'm not going to entertain a relationship with someone that I don't feel comfortable with.
Right. Right. And it's like, it's so interesting how things have kind of like switched a little bit. Because again, like I mentioned earlier, this quarantine has really taught me to just relax. Like before, I was like, we got to be together now. We're going to plan this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. I have really just been enjoying my quarantine and chill. I've really been enjoying my quarantine and chill. No, it's not sex led. But I really have been enjoying it in terms of really talking and getting to know and not stressing about all this stuff. Like, one of the most profound things he really taught me was, and this really applies to everything, we experience each other. Nothing belongs to us. There is no possession, no ownership. We don't even belong to ourselves. We're God's child. Everything is going to end. So he really has taught me to just, you know, relax, experience, get to know the person, get to know people, and just chill. Like, don't be so stressed out. And I need to see if you're this, and I need to see if you're this. I've just been enjoying the journey. And me, I'm not used to being single. I'll say that too, really quick, FYI. I was always in a relationship. Starting, I can go all the way back to 19. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
But I can honestly go all the way back to sixth grade. I am not kidding you. I have been in a long-term committed relationship from sixth grade up until even after my divorce. Like, I would be in a relationship for a couple years, and then I would be in another relationship, like, immediately after, like, maybe a couple weeks after. Like, and it was like that. Wow. I don't know why. So, for me, this is really my first instance of, like, really being single. So, I'm just now learning to just enjoy the journey. I'm enjoying my Netflix and chill. I mean, Netflix and chill. I mean, yeah, that too. But quarantine and chill and really just not stressing about the what ifs. Just enjoying the now for the amazing, beautiful person that he is.
Wow. I think that's so funny because I have always just enjoyed the time. To where I've been oblivious to the signs that someone was interested. I think I was actually on a date and then didn't realize that it was a date for them to be like, this is our first date. I'm actually interested. And I was like, oh, dang, I just thought we was hanging out. Okay. So I always go into meeting people as just enjoying the time, enjoying the space, enjoying the chance to get to know somebody else, right, and meeting somebody else. And it may be to a fault to where, like, you got to let me know what's going on. And that's why I like to have conversations. Let me know where we at, because I just be going.
I can pick up on signs. I can pick up on the vibe. Like, I can pick up on all of that. Like, oh, yeah.
I'd be oblivious. Real. I think, oh my gosh, so there's one time, oh boy, I went over to someone's house, this is so many years ago, and they had candles, and I'm like, oh, you like candles too? Me too.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, yeah, I be trying to save on my electric bill, I got candles everywhere.
Like, I just happen to have these candles.
Right. Girl, man, with a whole bunch of candles lit up when I come in the house. Okay.
Nothing of it.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. What scent is that? I like that.
I'm telling you, if I would have known you, if you would have came to me and been like, oh, you know, this guy, he had these candles everywhere. And I was like, man, I've never met a man who just liked candles. And he just had them lit up. I'm like, Sierra, he did that for you. Wait, what? No, I just don't.
I mean, retracing my steps. How did we get here? Because I just feel like I don't know what I said.
No, and I definitely understand that you need those intentions set clear. Like a guy just moving from now, all of a sudden he's doing all this extra stuff. You need that clarity. Ooh. You need that clarity.
You gotta make it plain, because if not, okay, you trying something new. Congratulations. I'm for your growth.
Right. He's like, no, I'm for our growth.
When did this happen?
When did this become a we thing?
And a us? We a us? Okay. Right. I think we need to talk. Yeah. But, well, I think this is great. Quarantine and chill.
Long story short, quarantine and chill. Set your intentions clear. Define your quarantine and chill. I don't like the term quarantine bae because a quarantine bae sounds temporary, but whatever you want to call it, shout out to the quarantine bays or whatever you have going on. Just make your intentions clear. Have those conversations and really develop a plan for afterwards. And at the same time, enjoy yourself. Have life and have life more abundantly, and we will see you guys next week
for more in the meantime.
In the meantime.